Track 7. As it's summer, the next two or three Norfolk landmarks are going to take us to the coast. Here's the first, and I think this is a cracker, brought to us by our very own Welshman, Tim Edwards. Tim has been to Cromer.
Let's go to the seaside. Heading to North Norfolk, the landscape changes dramatically as you spot the coast and realise you are high above it. Flat Norfolk belies its true terrain as you head down a steep decline with a winding chicane of road separating imposing Victorian housing on one side and playing fields, a tennis club and a school on the other. The Victorian houses lining the road are many-storied, with ornate pointed roofs like witches' hats, turreted lookout and gilded balconies. Away from these, terraced houses march away with kiln-roasted red brick and napped flint frontages. One such street housed Keith Skipper, author and raconteur. He remembers moving to Cromer and meeting local character Shrimp, a twinkling sense of humour to go with that no-nonsense Norfolk style, merged perfectly as Shrimp greeted me to his home patch with, "Welcome to the coast, boy, and don't go out there when the water's lumpy." The road slides down to a flat level where the town nestles around the enormous church with its green skirt laid out with flower beds and benches for the holiday maker to rest on their climb, either up or down to the rolling, lapping sea. Shop-filled narrow lanes lead the visitor to the edge of the world. With back to the mighty Hotel de Paris, a Victorian palatial hotel much visited by coach holiday makers. One's face looks out into a blustery wind with huge gulls, half-starved for hot chips, flying, rising, falling like unhanded kites against a candyfloss billowing white-clouded blue sky. Another meandering pathway worms its way like an eel down the steep cliff face, passing holidaying goats who keep the grasses down. Down to the busy promenade, heading left to amusements and right to Henry Blogg's Museum, across a launchway for boats of pleasure, a pebble-churning tractor dragging them over the shingle and sand to the sea. The sea that today is behaving herself, but has taken many a life on this rugged coastline, as Coxswain Blogg could attest to. The sun glints on the breaking waves, casting shads of pure light upon the backs of the foaming white horses of waves, bringing joy to surfers, boaters, crabbers, and squealing children as the cold wet hits above sandy knees and wipes a smile or two away for a moment. Between the breaking of the waves and the wiping of ice cream smudged faces, dogs cavort, sticks are thrown, cries of lovers canoodling under sun umbrellas, cries of women made widows by the storm-tossed night sea, when fishers have yet to return to port. All this life being lived in the shadow of the mighty structure, rising up from the seabed, disturbed in its slumber by the ringing bells of the arcades, of the clattering of pennies on the slot machines, and the ecstasy of winners and sorrowful losers. The many upright legs support the wooden walkway pushing away from the land and out deep into the heavy, Humber-named dark North Sea.
Please call the attendant.
Approaching the magnificent entrance at the foot of the cliffs, it is easy to forget about the criss-crossing metalwork and miles of tensile cabling holding the body to the legs below. The wooden walkway steps easily above the waves. The ornate metal handrails, occasional shelters with benches back to back, and windowless windows under a sheltering pitched roof tell of weather outsat, of rain-lashed panes and sun-scorched seats where couples lick ices and the elderly share chips. Plenty of vinegar, always first, so it doesn't wash the salt off. picking at the hot potato fries with greasy fingers, or stabbing with small wooden forks, newspapers long ago discarded for clean, fresh paper that doesn't absorb the oils. Quick, here come the gulls, ganging up, biding their time, waiting patiently. A roof ridge full, ready to pounce. Was that a dropped chip? The signal is given, and a cloud of feathers, claws and beaks descend upon the defenceless droppee. The cawing and squawking, the flapping and poking, like old women's pointed elbows at the church jumble, chests puffed out and sharply clawing at chips on a pier. That's mine. No, it's mine. I had my talons on it first. No, you never. Tearing at the objects until, oh no, the chip falls overboard and into the sea. One for the fishes. A jetty stood here 600 years ago, no doubt with seagulls spying on produce loaded and unloaded. Throughout the 1800s, several attempts at building a structure that could withstand the tides and inclement weather and aid the launching of lifeboats were built, and the sea claimed them all. The current structure dates from the turn of the 20th century and is home to Cromer Lifeboat as well as the Pavilion Theatre, with the last remaining end of the pier show in blazing summer and bitter winter. Storms may ravage the pier, but it stands proudly against the elements. A majestic local gem with a delightful air of grace about it, Cromer Pier has survived two world wars, multiple recessions, and more than its fair share of atrocious weather. It's a precious piece of our county's past, and standing strong and proud as ever, it continues to play a vital role in the future.
Thank you, Tim. I had no idea Cromer was so close to Chlaregab, the village that nestles below Milkwood.